This is KBNF Regional News for Tuesday, April 29th. I'm Patricia Naft. Outgoing Democratic Speaker of the House Mark Ferrandino's tenure is coming to an end. As the head of the 65-member House, he presided over last year's historic legislative session where Democrats passed gun control laws, civil unions, and in-state tuition for Colorado high school graduates who were brought into this country illegally. He sits down with State House reporter Benta Berkland and talks about some of the highs and lows of his time in office.
Speaker Mark Ferrandino, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Looking back in your time in office, what are you especially proud of?
Being Speaker has been the greatest honor, but when I look at my legislative accomplishments, payday lending reform, partly because it took 3 years to do. We're up against a huge industry that was spending millions of dollars, and we were just a ragtag group of people trying to fight for consumers. Now we still have storefront payday lending, but a report just came out saying we have the lowest rates of any state who has payday lending available in the state, and that's saving consumers, you know, millions of dollars. We'd also have to highlight civil unions and the work we've done for LGBT equality is another thing that is high on my list of accomplishments and something I'm really proud of.
And do you feel like because you are the state's first gay speaker that the civil unions issue, I don't want to say it overshadows other things that you've done, but in a way it's the first thing that comes to people's minds?
It definitely is what most people think about. And when I got into the legislature, I was the first gay man in the legislature. I didn't want to be the gay legislator. I wanted to be the legislator who happens to be gay. And I tended to be more of the budget policy numbers wonk. But it is something that everyone talks about. It has impacts on so many people, and all the bills we've done do. But it's the one I probably got the most news attention for, with what happened the year before it passed when I was the minority leader and the stories around the special session and Speaker McNulty not allowing the bill to come up for a vote. That definitely, you know, kind of shaped my political career.
Do you think that actually propelled Democrats to take back the majority?
It wasn't necessarily the issue of civil unions. They just felt the process wasn't fair. It passed through three committees, and it wasn't allowed to come up for a vote. And that's what hit people more than actually the policy.
Most people aren't going to serve in the State House or let alone be Speaker. What do you think is one of the biggest misconceptions about the job?
That we're not just normal people like everyone else. I've had several people, actually just even recently, who I was at an event with, and like, you're just a normal guy. And I was like, what did you expect? And I think the public sees us as just fighting. Almost all of us get along. Some of my closest friends are on the Republican side of the aisle.
And even if folks are in a job they love, there's always things you don't like about your job and things you won't miss. You know, what has been challenging and what's something you'll be happy to say goodbye to?
Just like you have in any business, there is that internal politics that happen as kind of the speaker, which, you know, I think a school like the principal, I tend to be and have to referee between fights between members. And that's never fun.
Give us one particular item you're especially hoping lawmakers tackle next year when you're not in office.
We've done a lot to increase the state's reserve. I'd like to see the legislature go farther. I have a bill this year on changing higher education, how we fund it. Those recommendations and implementation will come next year. The fiscal crisis our state faces because of Tabor-Gallagher Amendment 23, we haven't been able to untie that Gordian knot in a successful way, and that's going to have to be dealt with in the next year or two.
Finally, are you interested in running for political office again?
I never say never. There's a chance that politics and elected office might be in my career in the future, but there's a chance it never will be. In 7 years, I'm proud of what we've done. I never thought I would be sitting here as Speaker of the House, and so it's been an amazing honor.
That's Speaker Mark Ferrandino. He's serving in his last term at the state legislature. I appreciate you talking to us.
Thanks for having me on.
Every year, local birders look forward to the spring days when sandhill cranes pause on their northward migration to rest at Hart's Basin in Eckerd. Local birder Evelyn Horn reports those crane counts concluded on April 15, 2014, with these numbers. Total landed at Hart's Basin or Fruit Growers Reservoir, 15,067. Total counted at Escalante Wildlife Area, 5,525. And total reported in flight, 728 birds. Last season, the count at Hart's Basin was 13,294. Jim Wallace and Jim Durr helped in the count this season. The Denver Post reports that Coloradans say marijuana has been good for Colorado by a margin of 52 to 38, according to a recent Quinnipiac poll yesterday. Two groups, however, aren't convinced that legal marijuana is positive. 63% of Republicans say, and 63% of seniors, those 65 and older, said marijuana is bad for Colorado. Quinnipiac surveyed 1,298 Colorado registered voters with a margin of error of plus or minus 2.7 percent points. The Aspen Times reports that as the last of 37 trailers were being removed or torn down at the Pan and Fork Mobile Home Park in Basalt this spring, a sizable feral cat population was forced to relocate. The Pan and Fork was a haven for cats that lived under trailers by slipping through cracks and holes in the aprons. Basalt Town Manager Mike Scanlon estimated that there were 50 to 60 feral cats in the mobile home park. Three were captured by volunteers and taken to Colorado Animal Rescue in Glenwood Springs for adoption. Scanlon told the Times most of the cats apparently found new places to live in Basalt, taking advantage of gaps in aprons of other trailers or finding access to sheds. All of the trailers will be off the site soon. The town relocated the residents as part of a project to ease the flooding threat of the Roaring Fork River in that area. Half of the site will be converted into a riverside park. The remainder is eyed for potential development. Most of the site will be raised with fill dredged from the river. The Post reports that Denver-based Frontier Airlines unveiled a new cost structure for its fares yesterday. Passengers with economy class tickets will now have to pay extra to place carry-on bags in the overhead bin and for advance seat assignments. That's in addition to the $1.99 they were already paying for water. Frontier's fees for using the overhead bins range from $20 for frequent flyers who book online to $50 for those who fail to pay before getting to the gate. Most will pay $25 if they check in online, $35 if they check in at the airport. Flyers pay $15 to $25 for their first checked bag. Personal items fitting under the seat remain free. Frontier carries 8.4 million passengers a year, about 1% of the overall traffic flow by U.S. airlines. The airlines say it will offer a 12% average reduction in all of its nonstop economy tickets from Denver International Airport, which puts Frontier's prices about 18% lower than its DIA rival, Southwest Airlines. Stay tuned for the Tuesday morning music mix with Chase. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.